Please be seated. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. I'm going to share with you this morning some words from a Mark Twain short story that was not published during his lifetime. The publishers deemed it too contentious, and so they wouldn't publish it, but it was published afterwards. And this story called The War Prayer is specifically about the Philippine-American War, which lasted from 1899 to 1902. From Mark Twain, The War Prayer. It was a time of great and exalting excitement. The country was up in arms. The war was on. The drum was beating. The bands playing. Daily, the young volunteers marched down the wide avenue, the proud fathers and mothers and sisters and sweethearts cheering them on. Sunday morning came. The next day, the battalions would leave for the front. The church was filled. The service proceeded. A war chapter from the Old Testament was read. Then came the long prayer. None could remember the like of it for passionate pleading and moving and beautiful language. The burden of its supplication was that an ever-merciful and good Father of us all would watch over our noble young soldiers and help them to crush the foe. An aged stranger entered and moved with slow and noiseless step up the main aisle, his long body clothed in a robe that reached to his feet, his white hair descending to his shoulders, with all eyes following him and wondering. He ascended to the preacher's side and stood there waiting. With shut eyes, the preacher, unconscious of his presence, continued with his moving prayer and at last finished it with these words, "Grant us the victory, O Lord our God, Father and protector of our land and flag." The stranger touched the preacher's arm, motioned him to step aside, and took his place. And then in a deep voice he said, "I come from the throne bearing a message from the Almighty God." The words shocked the house of prayer. If the stranger perceived it, he gave no notice. "God has heard the prayer of his servant, your shepherd, and will grant it if such shall be your desire after I, his messenger, shall have explained to you its import." God's servant and yours has prayed his prayer. Has he paused and taken thought? Is it one prayer that the preacher prayed? No, it is two. One uttered, the other not. You heard these words, "Grant us the victory, O Lord our God." When you have prayed for victory, you have prayed for many unmentioned results which follow victory. Listen. O Lord our Father, our young patriots, idols of our hearts, go forth to battle. Be thou near them. Help us to tear their soldiers to shreds with our shells. Help us to cover their smiling fields with their patriotic dead. Help us to lay waste their humble homes with a hurricane of fire. Help us to wring the hearts of their unoffending widows with unavailing grief. For our sakes, who adore thee, Lord, blast their hopes, blight their lives. We ask it in the spirit of love, in the name of him who is the source of love. Amen. after a pause, the stranger said, "You have prayed it. If you desire it still, speak. The messenger of the Most High waits." It was believed afterward that the man was a lunatic because there was no sense in what he said. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. On July 7th, 2013, I took our daughter Lindsay for an MRI. It was a Saturday. She'd been having headaches. Her appointment was at 1:30 in the afternoon. I know this. She had her MRI, and at 4 o'clock, we were still there. At 5 o'clock, when they came in to empty the trash cans and turn out the lights and vacuum the carpets, we were still there. I knew something was up. I just didn't know what. So I asked the one remaining person, "What is it?" And she took pity on me, and she came over, and she said, "It is something. But I can't say." Finally, they got a hold of a neuroradiologist. Evidently, because it was the weekend, it had been hard to get a neuroradiologist. They took us into a back room, put the image up on the screen, and the neuroradiologist began speaking at the same moment that they put the image up. And when I saw that dark, dark spot about the size of a golf ball in the center of her brain, I knew. And Lindsay has a scar from here to here and a metal plate in her head and occasional short-term memory issues, but other than that, she is still our bright, funny, healthy daughter and her sister's best friend. Yeah. At the same time that Lindsay began experiencing headaches, one of our church members, our friends, began having headaches and neck pain. Cancer. She died within the year. And while I was at the hospital with our daughter Lindsay, our intern, Robert, got a call. His childhood friend, 29, had died suddenly of an aneurysm. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. One life, two deaths. These deaths are not for lack of prayer. Not for lack of faith or love or tears. These deaths may appear at face value to be unanswered prayers. We prayed for life and we prayed for health and our friends died. But this cannot be unanswered prayer. This cannot be the result of a God who turned away, who didn't care. I won't accept that. Scripture urges me not to accept that. David prayed that his child with Bathsheba would not die, and the child died. Oh, you might say, that's because David's child was born of adultery. No, I won't accept that either. David was the child of God's own heart. Paul prayed that the thorn in his flesh, his secret affliction, would be healed, and it never was. Oh, to keep him humble, you may say, no, I won't accept a God who is all loving, acting that way. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. I just must be missing something. And so this week, I went back and back to the scripture, to this passage in Mark 11. Jesus answered them and said to them, "Have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he said will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive that one, that your God in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. Here's what's important. What's important is what came before and elicited that response from Jesus. Because, you know, there was something that pushed it. So let me tell you a little bit about what came before it. What came before it is one of my least favorite passages in all of Scripture. I don't know what to do with it. I'd just like to take it out. So Jesus is going back and forth to Jerusalem. This is around Palm Sunday time. Hosanna, Hosanna. And he's going back and forth, and he spends one night in Bethany, and he's going back to Jerusalem, and he realizes he's hungry, and he sees a fig tree. And the fig tree is covered in leaves. It's green and lush. And Jesus goes up to the fig tree hoping for some breakfast, and he finds there are no figs on the tree. And he curses the tree. Never again will you bear fruit, he says. He curses the tree. Now, here, that's all right. Here's the part that gets me. The tree did not have figs on it because it was not the season for figs. So they go into Jerusalem and they're coming back, and Jesus is with his disciples, and this is like after a full day or a day, I'm not sure. And they're walking past that same fig tree, and Peter goes, look, the fig tree that you cursed is withered. I don't know what happened exactly then, but this is just kind of what I'm thinking. Jesus is like, oh, you've seen the lame walk, the blind see. Your sins are forgiven. I am right here. That's not the big thing. Trust in God. Now, this is maybe the next thing to happen. And I didn't even say this at 9 o'clock because it just occurred to me. So I'm going off script. I think Jesus knew those disciples pretty well by then, and that he knew what was about to come. They were about to whip out their scrolls and their pens and take notes. And they started writing. And so I think Jesus messed with them a little bit. Yeah. And if you say to that mountain, be cast into the sea, it will be. And whatever you ask for in prayer, just believe that it's happened, and it will. Now, I also wanted to make this more relevant for our time. So you know what I figured out? This is just like selfies. This is just like people missing the whole event because they're trying to take pictures of it. So, Peter, I'm right here. Trust God. Be present. Be here. The rest is details. It's big, you know. It's big, but what it really matters is that you trust God. And if you trust God, then when you're praying, when you've drawn close to God, also allow it to be a chance for you to draw close to others. And if you have a conflict with one of them, offer forgiveness. Offer forgiveness. That's a really big thing. And let it remind you, that act of forgiveness, that you are always forgiven by our God in heaven. I was thinking about that mountain being cast in the sea. And I was thinking about this thing here. What matters is not how high it is, how wide it is. What matters is not the miracle of getting it built in the city of Austin. What matters is the people who call it their spiritual home now, who gather for worship, who create community each day. I'm going to come back to that, but I want to share one more story with you from Madeline L. Engel, who wrote A Wrinkle in Time. She often told the story of a very long weekend when she and her husband were waiting for his biopsy result. She kept praying, "Please, dear God, don't let it be cancer." And her friends suggested to her that her prayer was invalid because the tumor already either was or wasn't malignant. But she said, "I can't live with that. I think the heart overrides the intellect and insists on praying. If we don't pray according to the needs of the heart, we repress our deepest longings, and so I pray as my heart needs to pray." Later, her husband's cancer was pronounced terminal. And Madeline L. Engel wondered if her prayers had been wasted. But no, she decided. Surely, she said, those prayers have sustained me, are sustaining me. Perhaps there will be unexpected answers to these prayers, answers I may not even be aware of for years, but they are not wasted. They are not lost. I do not know where they have gone, but I believe that God holds them. Hands outstretched to receive my prayers like precious pearls. Well, here we are, September 30th. We've got a little thing this afternoon, a congregational forum. We've been in a season of discernment. Because 50 years ago, Reverend Troy Perry thought, there needs to be a place for God's gay and lesbian, transgender children to worship God, and started the Metropolitan Community Churches. And for the last 60 days, our congregation has been discerning what our relationship with MCC should be going forward. And we have prayed. And you know, don't you, that some of you have prayed for opposite things? Please, God. The vision of Troy Perry is why I'm alive. When the others cast me out, and I found MCC. Please, God, we've given so much of our time and our energies and our financial resources. We don't want those to be at risk. We want to be good stewards, and we want our denomination to be good stewards. And we just don't think they have been. You know, we've been praying for different things, right? As many of us as there are, we've been praying for that many things. And after this afternoon, some of you might leave here thinking that your prayers weren't answered. I don't have to wait till this afternoon to tell you your prayers are answered, have been answered. For 60 days, we have prayed together. We have prayed for our church. We have prayed for our denomination. We have prayed for the world church. I was here on a Wednesday night when we were here, or Thursday night, way too long. And watched you hold each other up. And I watched some of you bow up just a little bit. And I watched others take that in and hold it. And I watched some of you cry. And I watched some of you get angry for a moment. But all the way through, we prayed together. We sat together. I'm not sure our church has faced any bigger single thing. But we've spent 60 days talking, praying, calling, writing, praying. And however we come out of that meeting, we're going to come out as God's people. Hopefully, not satisfied that we've got an answer and now we can stop praying and talking and writing. But understanding that if our desire in prayer is to draw closer to God, then every single prayer is its own answer. If every single time we pray to draw closer to God, then every single prayer is its own answer. We're going to listen to Deanna sing. Hold those thoughts.